This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Now, tonight you've got Chris, Dean, and myself, Matt, and we're off to the Balkan country of Kosovo. Now, Kosovo is a rare breed in Eastern Europe. It's a country with very comprehensive anti-discrimination laws that specifically mention the LGBT community. So why is it that the LGBT community is still largely underground? Kosovo's new constitution doesn't limit the definition of marriage to man and a woman, but why is gay marriage still a long way off? Is Kosovo's LGBT community finally finding its voice? Tonight we will be speaking with Ulrike Lunacek, a member of the European Parliament and co-president of the European Parliament's LGBT Intergroup. Here's a taste of what you're going to hear.
Any debate at all on LGBT rights? So the Kosovo to Zero people were very courageous in putting that on the stage. And there are by now a few initiatives of people being active on LGBT rights from Kosovars themselves. Kosovars, gays and lesbians have said, well, we want to change things.
So that's a little teaser of what you're going to hear later on tonight.
Time for some fun fast facts.
And a bit of background about Kosovo for those who don't know. So Kosovo became a republic in 2008, was previously part of Yugoslavia before it broke up, and is located in Eastern Europe.
Interestingly, it has had same-sex sexual activity legal since 1970, which was, quite a while before their independence. So they've had it for a while.
Pretty amazing. And they've also got a very neutral age of consent for people, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Which is just 14.
Age 14, I know.
Regardless of your gender, 14.
Which I think is really young.
That's so judgmental, Chris.
sorry.
And their new constitution that came in does not restrict the definition of marriage to a union between a man and a woman. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have gay marriages yet, but it means that I guess the process is a lot easier than somewhere like Australia.
Well, and some of the background to that is that the United States were involved in advising Kosovo as to what should be in their new constitution when it was written, and so all of these wonderful anti-discrimination articles were incorporated, but we were wondering whether this was a case of the laws moving much faster than society, because from what we'll hear later on tonight, it doesn't look like all of these attitudes have become entrenched in Kosovo yet.
But still some positive signs. And their discrimination protections are quite extensive. Some of the better ones in Europe, actually. So the Constitution of Kosovo has Article 24, which prohibits discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation, as well as a whole range of other things.
Now, very interestingly, Kosovo seems to be leading on the asylum seeker ground, unlike Australia, but I think everywhere seems to be leading Australia in that respect of late. So in Kosovo, you are able to claim asylum on the basis of your sexual orientation. And so people estimate that the number of asylum seekers has grown vastly since this new constitution came in, LGBT asylum seekers.
But interestingly, there's a little challenge for them there. What they've found is that some people have been thinking that if they say they're gay or lesbian, they will get an easier passage of asylum. Many people who aren't actually gay or lesbian have been putting that down to try and get in. So an added challenge that perhaps they didn't foresee in building of these laws.
Certainly more of a challenge in gay bars, wouldn't it? Wow, they look great. Oh. Bummer.
And another area where they are pretty very advanced, blood, sperm and organ donation is legal for gay and or bisexual men since 2002.
What's the deal in Australia with that?
Blood is still not legal? Not sure about all of them.
No, you're not allowed to
donate
blood.
That is ridiculous.
If you've had any sexy times, I think in the last 5 years or something.
2 years or 5 years, quite a decent time.
Yeah, so you've got to have a pretty celibate life for quite a long time before they'll actually, you know, ask for, they'll let you take blood.
Right. Sorry to be outraged late in the day, guys, but outraged.
Because you can catch goodies from it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It gives you gay.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's a World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, the show that takes you around the globe at one country at a time. Tonight we're in Kosovo and we are speaking with a member of the European Parliament, Ulrike Lunacek. She is also co-president of the European Parliament's LGBT intergroup and the head of the Austrian Greens ticket. Our interest in Kosovo came to light for a recent report and a vote that went to the European Parliament about Kosovo seeking more to be done in the area of LGBT rights. And much of it was heightened, or the interest was heightened, following an attack during the launch of a magazine in Kosovo called Kosovo 2.0. And there was quite a violent attack in 2012 that went along with that. Although that was quite bad, what it did do was raise the image of LGBT people in Kosovo. And so we spoke with Ulrike. And we started by asking what the resolutions were that the European Parliament passed regarding Kosovo and its LGBT rights.
There were two different things. One was the resolution on Kosovo, which is done every year after the progress report by the European Commission, which is my report where I'm the rapporteur, which includes two paragraphs on LGBT rights and non-discrimination. Yeah. And then there was a resolution which was also under my name, a report which demands from the Commission to do a roadmap against homophobia and discrimination of LGBT people, which was just voted 3 weeks ago. With lots of protesters against from all these religious and fundamental right groups. It's the annual report on the enlargement countries, which Kosovo is one of them. You know, the European Union has a strategy of enlargement with the Western Balkan countries, which is ex-Yugoslavia plus Albania. And Kosovo is one of these countries. So every year the European Parliament does a report on all of these countries to see where they stand in their process of enlargement, in their democratization, in their rule of law, in their anti-discrimination policies, etc. And it's also, just to explain, the European Commission every year in the fall does a report also on each of the countries, which is called Progress Report, which means how far are they progressing. And over the last years, the Commission has become very good in, via their embassies on the ground, be in contact with the LGBTI organizations on the ground, with human rights organizations, and get very clear information whether there is progress or not, or in what fields. In that sense, and me also being the co-president of the LGBT intergroup in the European Parliament, and an openly lesbian myself, I always take care that there is certainly an aspect that looks at LGBT rights in it.
In that report, it did look for more action from Kosovo in the area of LGBT rights and anti-discrimination.
Yes.
What particularly are you looking for?
Well, the problem is that Kosovo in general has very good laws. Yeah, the Kosovo Constitution forbids discrimination based on sexual orientation in Article 24. Yeah, this is not very common in constitutions in general yet worldwide. And since 2004, Kosovo also has an anti-discrimination law, which provides a high degree of protection for the LGBT community. Nevertheless, the problem is that enforcement of the legislation is still a high challenge. So that's why in the report, I also say that I'm concerned, and the Parliament is concerned, that discrimination is still a serious problem, and we call on the authorities to give effect to the constitutional principle of non-discrimination, and we call for a comprehensive anti-discrimination strategy so that the law is being fully implemented. So we have a lack of implementation of laws, not just on the LGBT field, in many others, and like in many other countries, but this is what we specifically call for.
So the lack of enforcement, and there's a good example there in the Kosovo 2.0 attacks where, you know, 12 months on, there have been no charges laid. So is that lack of enforcement coming from the government or from the police, or where do you think that's coming from?
Oh, from all sides, I would say. We have a problem in Kosovo in general with the rule of law. Still, we have many cases that are not well enforced yet. That's why we still have the biggest European civilian mission there, which specifically cooperates in the field of justice and also prosecution with the Kosovo authorities. But the fact that no indictments, well, there has been an indictment filed against three Kosovo citizens for being involved in the attacks, on 14th December 2012, but there is no process, no legal procedure yet. So what we say in the report is that we expect the perpetrators to be prosecuted in due course. The reasons behind it, I think, most lie in twofold things. One is, as I say, the general difficult situation of the justice system and rule of law in Kosovo. There's still lots of lack, even like things like witness protection and other things that are not fully working. And on the other hand, of course, certain prejudice against LGBTI people. But I've had very clear messages from the government as well. Even though maybe they don't speak out always fully on LGBT rights, the fact that it was supposedly Islamic, well, obviously Islamist fundamentalists that were attacking them has raised quite a lot of concern also in the government, because what I find very positive about Kosovo, that it is, yes, it is a Muslim country, but it is very secular. Religion hasn't played an important role.
There is, I guess, a limit to what the European Parliament can do in influencing rights there. You really need the people on the ground in the country, LGBT advocates, to be able to speak up. That must be incredibly difficult, though, if there is a threat of violence or vilification.
Yes, but let me be honest. I mean, that was the only case that has happened, a bad one and one case too many anyway. In general, it's more an aspect of never before in Kosovo society was there any debate at all on LGBT rights. So the Kosovo to Zero people were very courageous in putting that on the stage. And there are by now a few initiatives of people being active on LGBT rights from Kosovars themselves. Kosovars, gays and lesbians have said, well, we want to change things. There is a project now that has started this year, which together with two countries in Europe, Austria and Finland, does a kind of training and awareness raising program, very comprehensive one, which targets different stakeholders like teachers, police, prosecutors, judges, media, in a way that tries to convey to people that they don't have to be afraid of LGBT people and it's normal to have LGBT people around, in a way that is sensitive to fears that exist. So I see quite some progress there. It still will take a while.
And that is the voice of Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament, speaking to us about Kosovo. Getting back to Kosovo 2.0, which was an attack on this magazine launch, a violent attack in 2012, there seems to be some progress that's come, although she did make the point that the perpetrators, well, they have caught some people but have not yet prosecuted. And one of the things they have put in their report is that action needs to be taken to actually, prosecute these people.
And I can't imagine how terrifying a prospect that would be for civil society, knowing that people have made threats against your community, and not only that, but they've acted with complete impunity. So hopefully some action is taken.
I always think it's weird. What a strange thing to do for a hobby. Hey, let's attack someone. It seems like a really strange thing.
I don't think homophobia is logical in any way. But she also pointed out, though, there's some very positive training courses, and there seems to be a lot of help from, again, I guess the more westernised European countries to help them get along, and to, although the laws are quite liberal and perhaps the society is not quite there yet, they're doing these training courses with teachers and police and media to try and bring society along, to try and eliminate that fear, which is a really positive thing as well.
And one of the best ways, I think, that you can implement societal attitudes, or attitudes that are reflected in your constitution within the society, to get the people who work frequently with huge numbers of people from the community, you know, the teachers who talk to young people and the policemen who interact with all kinds of people from all walks of lives on a daily basis. And I think we can see that reflected also in Australia with the work of things like, you know, the LGBT liaison team with Victoria Police, and also with the Safe Schools Coalition, these kind of community integrated projects.
They're really about long-term change and, bringing change within the society.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
We are talking Kosovo. Our guest tonight is Ulrike Lunacek, who is a member of the European Parliament. And we wanted to, we asked her to tell us a bit about some of the inventive ways that Kosovo is using the media to change views on a variety of topics, including LGBT discrimination.
There's recently a TV program, which in part is funded by the European Union, but done by Kosovo producers, that is called Seeing is Believing, where they talk about several aspects of society. And one episode there was, which was called We're All the Same and Different, where they asked me to play a part in it, which is done in a kind of comedian way, presenting the topic of LGBT rights. And it's one part of a series of about 10 different parts on talking on different aspects of society. One is LGBT rights and tolerance and acceptance. So that is being transmitted sometime now on a very popular TV station, the main one, yeah.
Perhaps looking a little broader from just Kosovo, you have just had overwhelming support in the European Parliament for what is called the Lunacek Report. Can you tell us what that is and what it means for the European Parliament?
Yes, that was I'm very happy that this report passed. It's a report that demands from the European Commission to do a roadmap against homophobia and against discrimination of LGBT people in Europe and also outside, but mostly in Europe. You know, we can do initiative reports in this parliament. The parliament, unfortunately, doesn't have legislative power, but we have asked the Commission already 10 times over the last 3 years to come forward with such a roadmap, with a strategy, and they've never done it. There are other strategies like that on discrimination of disabled people or of Roma people, but there is none on LGBT rights. So that's what we asked for, and we described it very clearly what, for example, should be done in the field of education, that you should have member states, governments cooperate on how school books look like and what they should set in it in making sure that also same-sex families are presented, yeah? And then share good practices. Or that there should be more cooperation among police to how can police be made more aware of the fact that LGBT people very often live with lots of fear and don't dare to say why they think they were harassed or beaten up when they come to the police if they are gay or lesbian. So that is something that is in this report. It aroused lots of protest by religious and nationalist protesters. In Europe, there is a rising movement of Catholic and evangelical Christian organizations mobilizing against LGBT rights and also against abortion rights. This is the other sort of very difficult topic, and sexual and reproductive health and rights and LGBT rights. And I had more than 40,000 emails in my mailbox, spamming my mailbox for 1 week before the vote. My website was hacked. I mean, you never know who it does, but it was quite obvious that I would guess that it had to do with this report. And we had difficulty getting the report through because from the European People's Party, the Conservatives, Christian Democrats, we had some support from the shadow rapporteur, but then quite a few of others where we thought we had their support, like some of the Austrians, some of the Germans, and also some of the French, in the end decided to vote against it. Nevertheless, we got a majority with 300, I think it was, I don't have the numbers now, 370.
Yeah, it was nearly
votes.
2-1 in voting, so it was still an overwhelming support.
It was a very good vote, yeah. I'm very happy about it. And what the political sort of demand of that is that the next commission, because you know we have European elections in May, the next commission will make sure that such a roadmap is being done. That's also from the side of the parliament we have to push. But there's also cooperation with NGOs like ILGA, International Lesbian and Gay Association of Europe, which they ask people who want to become parliamentarians, European parliamentarians, or who want to become European commissioner, whether they sign a pledge, which the first part is, I'm in favor of writing and implementing a roadmap against homophobia. So that's the pressure we can exert now on people who want to become members of the parliament and also on those who want to become European commissioners. And then in the next parliament, in the next legislature, it will be for us, and I'll be back in this parliament because I'm head of the list for the Austrian Green, so I will be back here. So then it will be for us to pressurize that this will become reality because we need it in Europe and abroad.
There's some very great things happening there. Ulrike Lunacek, thank you for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much for asking me, and all the best for Down Under.
That's Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament, co-president of the European Parliament's LGBT Intergroup and head of the Austrian Greens, talking to us not just about Kosovo, but about a new initiative that has come through bearing her name, the Lunacek Report. This idea, though, talking about Kosovo and the way they were using the media, and they made this TV show about tolerance, and they got a politician, in this case Ulrike, in there. Could you see it working in Australia?
Yeah, I reckon Tony would look great in his smugglers on a on a TV show about LGBT people.
It's talking about tolerance and acceptance.
Yeah, so just looking acutely uncomfortable. Perhaps.
Everyone, look, there's a pig flying past the station window.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could get you know, the Greens involved. Christine Milne, perhaps.
Yeah, by all means. Adam Band is a good speaker. Adam He'd be great.
Yes,
yep.
yes. What, Julie Bishop?
No, I don't know. I wouldn't take a risk on Julie. I don't think.
The stare.
Yeah, maybe a cameo.
Now, that Lunacek report, which Ulrike was talking about there, a roadmap against homophobia and discrimination. So taking, she was saying there, you know, we can do lots of reports, but the reports need an action plan, a strategy behind them. Great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought she was saying world map for a while, and I was like, I think it's been done.
No, roadmap. And to take that across so many countries would be an incredibly powerful tool. Again, in the Asia-Pacific region.
I wonder. I wonder if it could. I mean, sometimes I think that Europe is just leagues ahead of everywhere else. Can you imagine them even having this kind of unified group where a parliamentarian can represent LGBT rights across an entire region and get so much support from her contemporaries? I don't know.
But wouldn't you think, though, in the Asia Pacific, that Australia could play a role in actually leading that?
Yeah. If we had the politicians who, excuse my language, had the balls to go ahead with that kind of an action, perhaps so.
So you think it's a little way off?
A little way off, yeah.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Centre of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on World Wide Wave.
Where tonight we've been visiting Kosovo and finding out some really interesting and exciting facts. Time to switch our view a little more worldly and have a look at the worldwide wrap, what's happening in news and current affairs for the LGBT community around the world this week.
Well, see if you can pick the undertone in the messaging here. Of course, it's another depressing story coming out of Africa, the west of Africa this time. West of Africa? Is that where Ghana is? Someone tell me I'm right.
Yeah, I'm right.
Silence in the studio. Okay. So a former senior politician and minister in Ghana has come out with a terrible statement. But I think what they're trying to get at is that they would like to stop young people who wish to seek asylum on the basis of sexual orientation in the UK from doing so, because they've said that lesbian clubs and societies who have huge sums of money will export our youth and use them for improper pleasures of the flesh, infect them with diseases and dump them. This is no joke. The same way that they can get visas overnight for brilliant footballers, so will they start obtaining visas for our young people using the influence of the powerful gay lobby in the UK.
I certainly hope so.
I'm trying to be surprised, but I'm really not.
I'm really not, but I don't even know exactly what actions they've got a problem with.
It's the lesbian mafia,
asylum. Well, as a part of the lesbian mafia, I can say that this is a confirmed conspiracy. But still,
it's
very
strange.
It's
that gay agenda thing again, isn't it?
But like on the flip side, I think an archbishop from Ghana just came out against the terrible new laws that have come into play in Uganda. So, you know, people doing all kinds of unexpected things.
Given that Ghana is well known for being one of the poorest countries in the world, you would think that they would have bigger fish to fry.
Not necessarily, and in fact, still in Africa, Ethiopia has plans to make gay sex a non-pardonable crime. They're looking to introduce laws that would prevent pardons for anybody future. This will put these laws on a par with crimes of corruption, human trafficking, smuggling, rape and terrorism. Few issues there in Africa. We're waiting for that African good news story.
Waiting for that good news story to come, and perhaps we won't find it here in Africa, but in Spain, something brilliant has happened. Tony Canto, who is an MP for the Union Progress and Democracy Party, which is based in Valencia, beautiful Valencia, has decided to star naked in a gay sex scene in an up-and-coming film. And this quote, which I love, he says, when asked why he's chosen to do this, "I'm aware of the fact that I live in a society where people are more shocked by seeing an MP's backside than by one who robs or is paid under the table. I need to express my artistic side, otherwise I go a bit mad."
I'm throwing down the challenge to any of Australia's politicians to match Spain.
No, don't take that back. There's a lot of politicians that I don't want to see naked on the screen.
Is this kind of a careful what you wish for?
Yeah, I think so. And he's a little bit dishy, so he can run with that. Perhaps not in Australia, up to Gibraltar. Now, Gibraltar, not really a country, a British overseas territory, it's titled.
I once had potted shrimp there. It was bizarre.
It's a rock. It's just a big
lump. There's a whole other
rock.
Show on that one. Yeah. this little rock, as you say, with 30,000 people there, has approved civil partnerships. Campaigners have welcomed the decision, describing it as an important step forward for equality, and thanked the Chief Minister Fabian Picardo and his team for making it all happen.
And best of all, Brits can now get married somewhere warm. Fab.
And now down to Asia, where there has been a large forum in Myanmar for ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And this was looking at civil societies. So the 10 member nations all had people there, and there was a group from ASEAN SOGI, which is the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity and Expression group, who were demanding that laws be changed across the region to remove direct and indirect criminalisation of LGBT people, and calling on national human rights laws across the region.
So thank goodness a bit of mobilisation, and with the startup of the new Kaleidoscope Trust, and you can hear Pog Gerber, who came in to speak to us about the work that the Kaleidoscope Trust is doing in Southeast Asia. It looks like there's a lot of stuff that's happening in this region, thank goodness.
Indeed, one of the things that came out of this forum as well, that sexual orientation and gender identity is currently excluded from the ASEAN Human Rights Declaration, which is currently under review. So hopefully that will get in.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm holding my breath so that I can go back to Malaysia and see my family. Yep.
Now, one more from Japan this time, or a couple from Japan, actually. There's been a billboard, which, after government pressure, has been taken down. It was a HIV education billboard that pictures cartoon-drawn guys in, swimsuits and things. So
it's like the first scene of hentai, people.
No, it's called Bara. It's exciting gay manga.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Look it up.
It's not that exciting, but, in any case, it's been censored. Outrage.
Angry Dean. I'm angry.
It's been censored. It's because one man is heavily muscled and not wearing a shirt.
Interesting, though, in Japan, same-sex marriage, there's been a poll on whether they should have it or not. Currently, 53% against, 42% for.
Hmm.
I actually think that's not too bad,
that's
considering where they're at. And
what was the score in Australia last time?
Well, Australia's still about 60 to 65 for and 30 to 35 against. So,
right.
But we've been going for a long time pushing that. So I don't think that's too much to fear in
it's
Japan.
It's pretty impressive.
There's also in Australia, certainly, I'm not sure if Japan's the same, but it's very much based on people's ages as well. So the ages of the respondents tends to have a big impact on whether they're pro or anti marriage equality.
See, what we need to do is just take the poll at the Joy offices and then...
100%. You're on the World Wide Wave. Tonight we have been in Kosovo. Thank you to our guest tonight, Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament. Has an incredibly busy job, so to take time out to speak to us and bring us up to date on Kosovo, greatly appreciate it. And for our people who've messaged us during the week on Facebook, Rebecca, Maddie, Miffy and Richard, hello to you. You can follow us on Facebook. It's World Wide Wave, and we post news stories from all around the world throughout the week. To Robert on the front desk, thank you as always. That's it for us. We'll be back same bat time, same bat channel next week. It's the Worldwide Wave. We'll catch you next week.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.